thank you so much. It's so good to see everyone. This was something new. We want to start trying more new things, although it's challenging and uncomfortable because that's usually when new life starts to come in an organization. This is pretty high tech, QR code. I don't really know how to do it either. If you didn't understand how to do it, don't worry, Bernice. looking at me intently, don't worry. You can do it with paper and pen. And just talk to Andrew afterwards and we can still get your response. So pretty fancy, but nothing to worry about. So if you have any questions, talk to Andrew and Dennis and they'll be happy to answer them. We are going through Psalm 25. And this is my first time memorizing Psalm 25, but as a church, every year we try to read the Bible together and memorize a portion of scripture. And so far it's been really good for me. This psalm is actually turning into my own prayer. It's helpful when I pray because I can pray the same words that I'm memorizing. But anyways, today Psalm 25, supposed to be verse 2, but let me try 1 and 2 and see if I can still remember. Psalm 25, verse 1 from the ESV, this is what it says. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Very good way to pray, I think, as you memorize it. But anyways, hopefully you are memorizing it as well. We are also one more correction to an announcement. The coffee hour, it is the third week, but for this month, it's actually the 22nd, not the 15th, because it has 5 weeks. But we announced it, for the 22nd when we began announcing it. So we'll keep it for the 22nd. So it's not next week, but it's the week after. But after that, it'll be every third week. So just for this month, it'll be on the 22nd, not the 15th. For the coffee hour from 3:30 to 4:30. And for me personally, I'm actually discipling the church. That's one of the most exciting things I get to do. I'm discipling the council, the leadership. We will be also going through a discipleship training. I'm also discipling the young leadership. We've been doing this for almost a year. And we're going through the basics of Christianity. And the only group that I kind of haven't been able to do that with is you guys. If you're not part of the leadership or any other group, I haven't had the chance to really do discipleship together. So this is basically the only opportunity at our church where we can grow as Christians and become fully devoted followers of Christ. My only opportunity to minister to you in that way. So I'm pretty excited because I will get a chance to see Christ formed in you more and more. But I need you to get excited and join because it'll be very beneficial for you. Okay? So if you have any questions, ask me, let me know, and we'll start the 22nd. And we're going to go over the basics of Christianity as a way for non-believers, new believers to relate, but also for more mature believers to be refreshed as we go back to the basics. We are taking a break from Jonah, and we're going to do Psalm 139, which we did about a year and a half ago. And like somebody said, your best sermons always come after you preach. Somehow, some way, you get the best insights and, I should have said this. I think it happens to maybe every pastor, but the best sermons usually come after you preach them. And for about a year and a half, I've been wanting to, preach on this passage again. I was waiting for the right time because, the first time I did it, I felt like I didn't do a good job. I felt like I wasn't clear and we didn't really get the most out of it, so we're going to give it another try. And this passage is from Psalm 139, but it deals with identity. It deals with finding your identity, finding who you are, knowing yourself, knowing how to find your authentic, true self that God created you to be. You know, Sinclair Ferguson said, one of the greatest crises that there is in the Western world is a crisis of identity. They say that over the last 50 years, the most common title for poetry written by high school students is a title, Who Am I? Nowadays, governments pour in millions or billions of dollars to help young people understand their identity. It is very important to know yourself. We will never live with confidence, conviction, and purpose if we don't know who we are. We will make costly and painful mistakes in the most important areas of our lives, like career or marriage, if we don't know who we are. We will never live the life we were created to live if we don't know who we were created to be. Today, King David will show us how we can find our identity, how we can know ourselves, how we can become the most authentic version of ourselves. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Psalm 139. Psalm 139. If you have your Bibles, read it from your Bible. Otherwise, it's on the screen for you as well. This is what Psalm 139 says. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a time in the life of King David where he's going through a lot of pain. You know that he's in a lot of pain because he's praying for God to slay his enemies, slay the wicked, like cut them in half. The people that I hate so much, the people that are giving me such a difficult time, the people that are inflicting so much pain into me right now, slay them. Slay them, God. You know you're in pain, and you know life is hard when your prayers are prayers where you're asking God to kill somebody for you. That's when you know you're really having pain. When you're actually praying, God, kill that person because of all the pain that they've inflicted on me. Can you please slay them? Kill them. So we know that he's in pain. We know that he's struggling. And it is interesting because it's in the midst of this pain that he actually enters into a journey to discover himself, to discover who he is, to know himself better, to find his identity. The journey of finding his identity started with severe pain. This shows us that many times the way that for us to be able to find our identity, often finding of self will be accompanied by pain. It's not going to be easy. So King David is in pain and he gets on his knees and prays and he immerses himself deeper into the presence of God in prayer, asking God to slay the wicked, to kill his enemies. And as he gets into a moment of intense prayer with God, this is when he starts to discover himself more. And this is when he actually starts to go into a deeper moment of intimacy with God. And he starts to pray and says, God, for King David, nobody really understood him. Nobody knew. Nobody was able to explain to David who he was. Nobody was able to relate to him. Because very few people are kings. Very few people know what it means to be king. David had nobody to really relate to. He was the only king. Who else is going to understand him? Nobody can really understand what he goes through. Nobody can understand his pain, his suffering, the injustice that these wicked people have brought upon him. Nobody can really understand what he's going through. Nobody really knows what he's experiencing. And it is at this time where he feels like so lonely and like nobody can understand, nobody can know, nobody can relate. Even himself, he doesn't really understand himself. It is at this time where he feels totally alone that he comes before God and he says, nobody understands, nobody knows, nobody can relate, but you can. He says, God, you know me. And nobody can understand me. Nobody knows what it means to be king. I don't even understand who I am. I don't even know my identity. But you know. You understand. Says, nobody can know, but you can know. And he says, search me and know me. I come to you because you know. Because you can relate. You know me. Nobody knows me, not even myself. But you know me, so I come before you. You know, oftentimes in life, when you're in pain, when people have hurt you, when injustice has come upon you from other people, what we want more than anything is to be known. We want people to know. I'm hurting. This person hurt me. I don't like them, so you shouldn't like them either. You know, we long to be known when we're in pain. We want people to know our pain. That's how we find healing, when we can finally find somebody that we can share with them everything that we're going through and for them to say, you know what? I'm hearing you. You know what? I hear what you're saying. I think I understand what you're going through. I think they're bad people, and if you don't like them, I will not like them either. You know, we want to be known, we want to be understood when we're going through severe pain. And that's what David is going. His moment of affliction, his moment of pain is bringing him into a deeper relationship with God, into the presence of God. And when nobody understands, he comes to the one, the only one that can understand him, that knows him very well. And then this is how well God knows him. King David says, you know, God, you know my thoughts from afar. Before a word is in my mouth, you already know what I'm going to say. You know, you created my inward parts. You knitted me together. You are the one that put every single part of my body together when I was in my mother's womb. Like, you know me better than my mom. And you know, you created every single day of my life. Before I was even born, you already had plans for every single day from day one until I die. You are in control at the beginning of the end. You know who I'm going to marry. You know my career. You know the path that I should take. Every single day has meaning and purpose because you created every single day for me already. So King David is saying, you know me. You really, really know me. You know everything about me. You put me together. You know every single day that I should live. You know me. So what does this mean? If you want to know yourself, you can never do it alone. If you want to know who you are, it must come from outside. An outer source that has infinite knowledge about you must tell you who you are. If you really want to know yourself, if you really want to know who you are, if you really want to know your identity, you cannot find it by looking inside of you. You cannot find it by isolating yourself and being on your own. The only way you will have a chance to know your identity, to know who you are, is if you know God. That's the only way. It must come from outside of you. It has nothing to do with you. You cannot know yourself on your own. It must come from the one who put you together, who has a plan for every single day of your life, the one who created you. The only way you can know you is if you know the one who created you. It has to come from outside. Identity is found from an outer source that has infinite value. Infinite knowledge about who you are. So you cannot know yourself, I cannot know myself, without having a relationship with God. If we try to find ourselves, find our identity, our purpose, who we are on our own, we will never be able to do that. It can only be found from God. It has to come from outside, from an outer source. Only when you know God, you can know yourself. And, you know, King David kind of explains why this is the case, why we need God in order to find ourselves, to know ourselves. It's not only because God knows us and He's created us and He's, you know, knows everything about us, but the reason why is very interesting. King David, you know, as the psalm continues on, he kind of makes it a little bit interesting. He starts to use, you know, when he went to this moment of prayer, he went in, you know, telling God to kill the wicked, slay the wicked, those sinners, you know, God, I hate them, kill them. But an interesting thing happened as he was praying. As he was praying, he saw something in himself as he went into the presence of God. As he was exposed closer to the holiness of God, he realized something. He realized that he is also a sinner. He realized that he's just as bad as the wicked people he's asking God to slay and kill. He realizes he's just as bad, just as sinful. And that's why his prayer changes in verse 6. And he says, God, like, I don't like you knowing me like all the way. I don't like you knowing everything about me. Like, I want to flee from you. I want to hide from you, but I can't. You know me too well. And I don't like it. I don't like it because you see my dirt. You see my stains. You see my sin. I don't want you to see the ugly parts of me. You know, the language he uses, God, I want to flee from you, but I can't. I want to hide, but I can't. It's the same language that Jonah used when he was fleeing from God in disobedience, when he was in sin. It was the same language that was used when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they were trying to hide from God. So the more he spends time in prayer, in the presence of God, in the holiness of God, he's realizing that he's also a sinner. The holiness of God is exposing himself. He's not innocent. He started by saying, God, slay the wicked. And now he's saying, I want to run away. Because I'm sinful too. I want to hide. I want to flee, but I can't because you're everywhere. You know everything about me. This is uncomfortable. I don't want you to know me this well. But did you know that the only way for you to actually really know yourself well, you need to know you're a sinner. The only way you will not have a fantasy about who you are, a conceited view of yourself, an out of touch with reality view of yourself. The only way that can happen, the only way that you can have a realistic view of who you really are, is by humility. By humility. And the only way that we find humility is when we realize how sinful we are. And we can only realize how sinful we are in the presence of a holy God, before a holy God. If you don't know you are a sinner, you're going to wreck your life. You're going to destroy your life. Because what's going to rule you is going to be pride. Pride's going to make you think much higher of yourself than you should. And it's going to affect every area of your life. Career, marriage, and relate. It's going to wreck every area of your life because you don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. You have a false view of yourself because you don't see the fact that you're a sinner. It is of essence to know that we're sinful if we really want to know ourselves. We cannot know ourselves if we don't know that we're sinners. And we can only know that we're sinners when God is part of our lives. And this is why, you know, King David, he hates it, you know, but he realizes the more he spends time with God, the more that he realizes he's a sinner. He wants to run away. He doesn't want God to see his dirt. He doesn't want God to see the stains. He doesn't want God to see the ugly, sinful part of himself. He's realizing, I'm a sinner, and God sees all of this is too uncomfortable. It's giving him a very realistic, correct view of himself, of who he is. And a humility to be, you know, who he is and not some fantasy of who he thinks he is. I shared this before, but I read an article on the news about this couple, this husband and a wife, who were, they owned a business. So they were the CEOs of the business, husband and wife. And one day, you know, like, they had Alexa, you know, the what is it? Is it from Amazon, Alexa? And one of those devices, and then the Alexa, without them knowing, had dialed somebody on their phone, one of their employees. And they did not know. And they were talking about all kinds of things, all kinds of secrets, and the employee on the other line is listening to everything that they're saying. And then, you know, when they found out what happened, it killed them. Because somebody got to see an unfiltered version of themselves that they were not supposed to see. It made them so uncomfortable to know that, you know, when that people actually heard what they were talking about in their most vulnerable moment that nobody should have known about. And then that same week, I was reading another article on the news. They said that there was this hotel where the workers had put hidden cameras, like, inside the hotel. And the bathrooms and the beds, and then they were recording everything that the customers were doing. And then later on, these customers, they found out that, you know, these employees were recording, they found out what happened, and it devastated them. It killed them because now the employees had power over them. They had this footage of, you know, videos of everything they recorded of their most vulnerable, unfiltered version of themselves. And if they chose to put it on social media, their lives would be over. And that's what King David is going through. He doesn't like being known all the way down. Just like you and me. If we are honest, We don't like to be known all the way down. We don't like to for God to see, or for anybody to see, the unfiltered version of it. We don't like for people to see fully everything about us, because we know that they're going to find dirt. We know they're going to find stains. We know that if they see all the way down, they're going to find somebody they can't fully love. So none of us likes to show who we truly are. It makes us uncomfortable. None of us likes to show our sins. But did you know that the more we live that way, the more counterfeit we become? The more a fake version of ourselves is what we show everybody. It's not who we really are. And we start to believe that's really us, and it becomes impossible for us to know our true selves. And that's what King David is showing us. That if you really want to know yourself, if you really want to know who you are, then it starts with understanding that you are a sinner. And that humility will really show you, realistically, a correct view of yourself. But, you know, King David, although he was praying and asking God to, you know, like, I want to hide, I want to flee, because I don't want to be seen all the way down. Because if you do, then, you know, like, I know that I'm somebody that cannot be loved fully if you fully see who I am. I know there's dirt. I know you will find sin in there. And it makes me very uncomfortable to know that you see all of that. So he was praying that way, but he didn't dwell in his sins. So in order for us to find an identity, in order for us to know ourselves, we need to know that we are sinners. Like, we need to know that we sin, but it doesn't end there. He doesn't dwell only on the fact that he's a sinner, but his prayer starts to change again. And then now he says things like, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are perfect, and my soul knows it very well. It's just so weird. He goes from like, God, I don't want to hide, I want to flee, I'm a sinner, to now he says, God, I know I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are perfect, and my soul knows that, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, King David is saying, I know that you deeply, deeply love me. I know that I have value and worth because you fearfully and wonderfully made me, and my soul, at the core of my being, I know that I have value, I know that I have worth, I know that you love me because you created me like this. You were so loving and tender in the way you created me, and because you are the author of me, I have so much value because you're the one who created me. He's starting to understand not only that he's a sinner, but that he's so loved. That he's so loved. If you want to know who you are, it's equally as dangerous if you don't know that you are loved. You cannot know yourself, you cannot find an identity if you don't know that you are loved by God. It's equally as dangerous if you don't know that you're loved. You're going to wreck your life by being insecure, by not having confidence, by getting into the wrong relationship. It's going to equally damage you and destroy you. And you will never be able to be the confident self that God created you to be if you don't know that you're loved. If we don't know we're sinners, it's going to wreck our lives. If we don't know that we are loved, it's going to wreck our lives. If we don't know we're sinful and that we're loved, we cannot know who we truly are. We cannot become who God created us to be. And we're going to make mistakes in every area of life and bring destruction to so many areas of our lives. You know, I mentioned this before, and I guess I can say this because I'm kind of Korean, right? Because I wasn't born in Korea, like I don't have a Korean passport, and I never lived in Korea, so technically, you know, I don't know if I'm really considered Korean. My passport says USA, and I was born in Quito, Ecuador, so I'm having an identity crisis right now. But, you know, I guess I can say that because I look Korean. But, in Korea, the entertainment industry has exponentially and globally grown the past few years. And along with the growth of the entertainment industry, in Korea, also what's grown is exponentially, and what's become normalized, is the plastic surgery industry. Both have really, really grown, and everybody's getting plastic surgery. The celebrities in Korea, the moment they start to lose popularity, or you know somebody else becomes more famous than them, the first thing that they do is they go get plastic surgery to try to become this person that they think their fans want them to be, so that they can be loved and valued again. They try so hard to become somebody that they think is going to be lovable, because on their own they're not. They're losing popularity, they're losing fame, so they must become somebody else. And so they go get plastic surgery. Worst cases, they actually end up committing suicide. There was two last year. But usually they go get plastic surgery, and you know, in some cases they've gotten so much plastic surgery that they totally look different from who they were naturally supposed to be. There were articles last year or a couple years ago where there were some celebrities were trying to come to the States to perform, and the immigration officer would not let them in because a passport picture and their face looked so different that this is not you. And they had to, like, you know, they were sent to a room, and then people had to work with the immigration officer to let them know what happened. And then after hours of investigation, they will be let into the country. In some cases, I don't know too much about plastic surgery, obviously, you know, I never got one. But they say that if you actually get plastic surgery, you have to continue getting it. It's not a one-time thing. You have to continue to inject, you know, things in your face or wherever, and then it's just an ongoing thing, ongoing process. I've seen actually some celebrities that their face doesn't really look real anymore. When they smile, their face doesn't move anymore. And I'm not saying this, you know, in a, like, you know, flippant or like, you know, like joking manner, but to me that's actually really sad. It's so sad because, you know, when I see those celebrities, I never say, oh wow, they look so much better now. The first thought that came to my mind every time that I see somebody go through that is, I wonder how ugly they had to feel inside that they felt the need to have to change the outside. I wonder how unworthy they had to feel inside to go through all of that just to become somebody that they hoped would be loved and appreciated by others, because the way that they were, they thought they couldn't. And then it hit me. They don't know themselves. They don't know themselves. They're doing damage to themselves, destroying their life, because they don't know who they are. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't do this. If they knew who God was, if they knew that they were fearfully and wonderfully made, they would be free. They would know themselves. They wouldn't put themselves through so much pain and unnecessary suffering if they really knew who they were. If they really knew the worth and the value that they had. If they really knew who created them, they wouldn't go through all of that pain and suffering. What they didn't know is that what needed to change was not the outside. What needed to change was the inside. They really needed to know but they are fearfully and wonderfully made. They needed to know that they are God's piece of art. He is the artist and they are his creation. If they knew that, some of them would still be alive. Many of them would be so free, finally able to love themselves. They wouldn't make mistakes that they make because they don't know who they are, because they don't know that they're loved. And that's what King David realized. Not only did he realize how sinful he is, God, don't look it all the way because I'm a sinner, which is what we need. If you want to know yourself, you need to know you're a sinner, so you don't have a wrong view that pride brings into your life. But equally, we need to know that we are so loved by God. And only when we know how sinful we are and how loved we are, we can actually become who God created us to be. We can find our identity. We can finally become our authentic true self. You know, King David, this is what he realized. He realized what really changed him. He realized how sinful he was, but what really changed him was that he also realized that God saw how sinful he is, how dirty. He saw all the way down into King David, and God didn't change his mind about it. God saw how sinful he is. God didn't change anything about his love for him. When he realized that he can be loved at his worst, when he realized that he can be loved as a sinner by God, he can, do you know how he ends the prayer? Do you know how he ends the psalm? He says, God, continue to know me. Continue to search me and know me. I actually love the fact that you know me. He doesn't have to hide anymore. He doesn't have to pretend anymore. He doesn't have to try to become somebody else anymore. He can just be himself. Because he knows how dirty and sinful he is, but he also knows that still, despite the fact that he's so sinful, God loves him. When he knows he's loved like that, he doesn't need to hide. He doesn't need to become somebody else anymore. He can be so free. He can just be himself. He doesn't need to change for others. He doesn't need to live up to people's expectations. Because he knows he's loved as a sinner by God. And that's, you know, what King David realized. You know, Derek Kidner, he says, God is sort of like a knife. David realizes that the being of God takes anything away from my life that it wasn't the true me. Contact with God will not destroy my identity. I will find it. When you can be so you, because you don't need to hide, you don't need to do plastic surgery, you don't need to change, that's when you can really be you. When you don't need to become somebody else, like you can be you because you know you're a sinner, but you know you're loved. You don't need to hide anymore. You know, and that's the only way you're gonna actually be able to be so authentically, naturally you. When you realize that despite the fact that we're so sinful, God loves you anyways. And you know, what King David is trying to show us right now, he's trying to show us that the only way we can truly find our identity, the way that we can only truly know who we are, is through the gospel. The gospel is what will help us become so authentically ourselves daily. When you preach the gospel to yourself daily, that's the more you apply what you know about Christ into your life daily, the more authentically, naturally you can become. You know why? Because this is what the gospel says. The gospel in its most simplest form, this is what King David is showing, is that if we want to find our identity and know our authentic true selves, we need the gospel daily. The gospel is not just to enter the faith for non-Christians. The gospel is for Christians to continue to grow in our faith. We need the gospel to be applied to our lives daily, and because we don't do this, is that we are struggling with identity crisis and things that we and other types of sin, because we don't apply Christ into our lives daily. Because the gospel, in its most simplest form, it means, it teaches us that we are, like Keller so famously says, we are a lot worse sinners. The gospel shows us, tells us, that we are a lot worse sinners than we think we are. That's why God himself had to come to die for us. That's how sinful we are. The gospel daily shows us that we are so sinful. And those of us who are a little bit more prideful, those of us who have experienced a lot of success in life, those of us who haven't had it too hard in life, we need that kind of humility. We need the gospel to tell us that, hey, we're sinners. We're a lot worse sinners than we think, to give us a realistic view of ourselves instead of a puffed up view that will lead to destroy every area of our lives. Some of us who need humility, we need the gospel daily to remind us that, hey, we're no matter how much we have or how much we've accomplished, we're still very, very sinful. That's the only thing that will help you find yourself, your identity, your true self. And for those of us who, that's only half of the gospel. The other half of the gospel says that we are a lot more loved than we can ever hope for. That despite the fact that we're so sinful, God still loves us more than we can ever hope for. And those of us who have a little bit, you know, who've been hit harder by life, who've been rejected in life, who've sinned in life, who've had, you know, more suffering in life, and because of that, we're scared, we're insecure, we're anxious, we're fearful, you know, we're not confident. Those of us, we also need to know that we're loved. We need to know that we're loved. We need to know that God takes a chance on us. We need to know that God doesn't reject us. We need to know that God is the one who loves us despite the fact of anything we've done or anything we've been through. We need the gospel to lift us up, so we won't destroy ourselves in self-pity, and we won't destroy ourselves in rejection, and we won't just hide from everybody else because we don't want anybody to know, because we're so scared to face anybody. Here, we need to be brought low. Here, we need to be brought high, so that we can really be authentically and so freely us. We don't have to be blind. We don't have to hide. You can just be us. But the only way that happens is if we know how sinful we are and how loved we are, despite the fact that we're sinful. That's what King David knew. That's why he said, you know me. The only way for me to be known is by knowing you. And by knowing God, he knew how sinful he was. But he also knew how much God loves him despite his sin. And that's what helps him find who he really is, his identity, know himself. You know, my daughter, Isabella, she, one of the things that I always, always tell her, every single day, if I can, I tell her, Isabella, you are most beautiful, not when you turn into Elsa, and not when you try to become like your younger brother, you know, a baby again, so you can get attention and be loved because you're jealous of your brother. I always tell her, you're not beautiful when you do that. I tell her, you're only beautiful when you are Isabella. You're not beautiful when you try to become somebody else. You're not beautiful when you try to get acceptance and love by becoming like your little brother. I try to instill this in her heart and in her mind that you're only beautiful when you are who God created you to be. Only when you are Isabella, you are truly beautiful. And you are only truly beautiful when you are who God created you to be. Only when you realize through the gospel who God created you to be, when you are so naturally and freely you, that's when you are most beautiful. And you can only get there. You can only get there by daily being reminded how sinful you are and how loved you are.
You are beautiful for being you. God created you to be so uniquely you, to be so beautifully you. He's crazy about you, not about somebody else. So stop trying to be somebody you are not. Come to Jesus and let Him show you who you truly are. Let's pray.